Can the microphone hear me over the background? Okay, this is Jonathan coming to you live from NASCAR, and you're listening to the Through the Aftermath podcast. Woo!
Hold on, John. Just a second.
Huh?
Okay, two things. You can't really be a guest on your show if it's your own show. You know what I mean?
Well, it wasn't really both, so to speak. It was more like I was 60% hosting, 40% introducing. Well, no, it was actually more like 70% hosting, 30% introducing.
Okay. So, secondly, we're supposed to be here at NASCAR, which doesn't really fit the theme, and NASCAR isn't even post-apocalyptic anything.
Well, it's kind of post-apocalyptic, you know, like Mad Max. You know, it's got the,
nope.
You know, the road warrior thing, the cars roaring by racing, it's got
nope.
The racers battling... Kinda.
Hey, you know what?
Huh?
It's not.
Okay, you know what? You know what? Fine. You want post-apocalyptic? I'll give you post-apocalyptic. Hand me that rocket launcher on the ground right there. I'll give you Road Warrior.
Okay, here you go.
You want Road Warrior? Here's your Mad Max right here. There you go. Now it's Road Warrior. Post-apocalyptic, huh?
You know, you could have just told me all of this.
Well, I wish you'd said that before I did all that. I wasted a perfectly good missile.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 38th episode of Through the Aftermath. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Jonathan. How you doing, Jonathan?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's been a while. Good to be back.
Yeah, we say that every time. It's like we should just go ahead and call this a monthly show, I guess.
I know. It has been. Well, and I keep telling people that it's because, you know, ever since, you know, this time of the year, the apocalypse, you know, after the apocalypse, it gets a little cloudier with the acid rain. Yeah. And the solar panels don't always charge completely, and so, you know, we'll go to record the show, and nope, still cloudy. So, yep. And then there was that time that one of the Brahmin actually sat down on it and broke one of the panels, and I was like, well, how do you get on the roof? But that's another story, so.
It took a week alone just to get him off there.
Just to get him down. Yeah. I had to shoot him off of it, and I did feel bad, but he was tasty, and so it all worked out in the end. I just said that out loud. That was ridiculous.
So how have you been this last, I guess it's been about 3 weeks?
It has been. Yeah, it's been good. It's we're getting into the cooler months, as you know, so the temperature is not as screaming 112 anymore. We're into the, it's still in the hundreds, but not nearly as, it doesn't feel as bad. So, it's been good. Very busy, though, like, you know, stuff at work, but I've been trying to just keep the theme, you know, with Fallout New Vegas coming up soon, which we'll talk about momentarily.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kept trying to keep the post-apocalyptic theme going in the gaming recently, so busted out Borderlands again, which, you know, people say, you know, that may not be post-apocalyptic because it's another planet. Well, let's be honest. It's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Even if it is another planet, it may as well be Earth. So I've been busting that out, finally beat the game, actually beat a good chunk of the download content as well, and I got to tell you that's one of the few games where I feel compelled to go back and play it again just because it's so much fun and so silly, and I love the art in the comic book style art, and it's just good clean fun.
Yeah, I like that game too. I haven't beaten it, but I really enjoy it a lot. Definitely post-apocalyptic.
It definitely is, and it's funny because I'm glad that I played it when I did, because I have been told, and this isn't a spoiler by any means, although I've been told that by a lot of people that the ending sort of leaves you staring, kind of going, what just happened? But after having beaten it just recently and seeing the ad for the new download content coming out next week, it makes perfect sense now, because there's something that happened at the end that you're kind of like, what the heck? And then all of a sudden, but after seeing the new download content, which I understand is the final, It makes sense now because it ties into this last download content. But yeah, the people who beat the game a while back, they were probably scratching their head going, I'm not, was that David Lynch directing that? Was what happened there? Did I watch Dune? Yeah, because it didn't make a lot of sense at first, but yeah. Good times though. Good game.
I hope to beat it one day.
Yes.
I say that about so many games. Yeah. Actually, it's funny. Did you buy Civ 5 today?
You know, I didn't buy it. I've been kind of like tight on the cash for a little while because of the great, last time Steam had a sale, I very nearly bankrupt myself. But I do have enough storage in my cheeks for the winter, I might add. So, yeah, it's Civ 5, how is it?
It's a lot of fun, and I keep, anyone who knows anything about Civ games or any RTS, basically, is, you get up to that point where you develop nuclear weapons and then you blow everything up. I mean, that's just like, but it reminded me of this show, and I wanted to talk about it because you get to that point where you get the atomic weapons, and I think it's really cool that they did this in a few other ones too. But I like just blowing everything up, and then they actually have fallout. So, and then your workers have to actually clean up the fallout, and it's like this glowing fog that's around this whole area. But
wow,
it's like for a second there, actually. The last few levels, I guess it was a post-apocalyptic game. So,
for heaven's sakes, awesome. That counts then. It would count the
But I've been having a lot of fun with that. I just got it today though, so but yeah, that's been fun. Like you mentioned, Fallout New Vegas is coming out in a month, less than a month.
It's already here. That summer went by fast. Like the summer of Fallout 3. Might have been the longest summer of all time. And one of the big jokes with my family is, at the time, my kids, they watch, those little, like, Nickelodeon channels. Like, there's this one kid's station that's called Noggin.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny, But there's this little moose who does, like, he's like their little mascot. And there was this song that he sings that is seriously, like, right on the Fallout soundtrack. Only they changed the words, and I'm like, even the shows mock me. Because, like, at the whole summer, they're playing the song, and it was like, great, as if my summer isn't long enough, you're making me feel it even through kids' TV.
Yeah.
This time was different. This was more like going to Vegas, because I'm going to Vegas for NASCAR, so that's the one place where it's going to make fun of me, because when I get there, I'm going to be like, I doesn't look blown up to me. But, then right now somebody's going to be like, actually, it's not blown up in the game either.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, all right, fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a big gaming month next month. Actually, October usually is. October through, Christmas, I guess, is usually.
What's going on?
Yeah. But, it's a pretty exciting time. I mean, I'm trying to think of what other kind of, post-apocalyptic things I've been up to, and the only thing really is I watched Day of the Triffids. I didn't watch all of them, but I started watching them, and it's the BBC series from 1981, and I'm really enjoying
Netflix,
it. Did you watch it?
I started to watch it. It actually wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and it's it's from early 80s, and it's kind of low budget and cheesy a little bit, but actually. Yeah. It's not too bad. I mean, the acting is good and everything, and I really enjoyed it. Now, I think the first person who suggested that to me was actually Michael Zenke, because we've had a lot of people suggest it, but I think he's the first one that said it, and that had to be at least a year ago, and here I am finally checking it out.
Well, and I was nervous too because I was afraid. Not that I'm afraid of like BBC from the 80s, but I always tell people like it's low budget, but it's not like Hitchhiker's Guide 80s low budget. And if you ever watch that BBC series, it's like, oh man, it's very cult classic. But at the same time, you're like, oh dear.
Yeah, I expect. I mean, I watched the new ones because they came out with a couple new ones. The BBC did. I think it was just last year, and I wanted to one day compare the two and kind of talk about the comparisons between the two, because we haven't really talked too much about it, but a lot of people have recommended it, so I imagine a lot of listeners out there have watched it already, but for the ones who haven't, I think it'd be cool to take a whole episode and just talk about it. So.
Well, and you notice Netflix actually has a post-apocalyptic subject. Like, if you want to look it up by subject type, they actually have a post-apocalyptic movie line. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like made for us. Maybe they listen to the show.
Yeah, and you know, I wondered that. I'm like, you know, that wasn't there before we said this. So I thought that that might be the case. Now, have you been watching that show called The Colony?
No, I haven't. Is that on streaming yet?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen it yet because they're actually about to have their season finale next week. But I've been DVRing it as it's been coming on. I've got to tell you, like, I watched the first time it was on, the first season, and it was pretty hokey. And this one, you know, there's moments you can only have like a reality TV show with post-apocalyptic stuff to an extent before it gets hokey. Yeah. But boy, they really did a good job on this one. Like it seems substantially less ridiculous than the first season. And this one, I actually found myself going, this is pretty cool. Like things that the fact that they would have to team up with another group to get out. And the fact that there was these, you know, they actually had to, they're getting ready to have to do this like raid on the other camp because they found a way out of the quarantine zone, but they've got to get the food to last. So they're going to go raid someone else's camp to go get the food to get out of there. And it's like, who comes up with this? This is pretty clever. I mean, it was, I got to admit, I was very like going to laugh at it when I first saw it. And then I was like, wait, they did okay on this one. It's pretty neat.
I bet the guy who wrote that played Fallout 3.
You know, I was thinking that too, or he listens to the show as well. It may be the Netflix guy at the same time.
That's really
you never know.
Not possible.
That's seriously, that would be like my grandfather. Actually, the odds of that would be insurmountable. Thanks, Grandpa. I appreciate it.
Cool. Well, I guess what we're going to do in this episode is we're going to talk about Dragon Con, finally, which was, you know, 3 weeks ago. And we're going to read some emails. We got quite a few emails, and I wanted to get, you know, kind of cover a few of them, not all of them, but we'll go through about, I think we got about 8 of them that we wanted to read. So yeah, that's what this show is going to be about. And I guess starting out, anyone who has been a listener of the show since last year remembers the episode we did with right after Dragon Con, and where I talked about, you know, the costuming panel and how it got me all into making costumes, and, you know, I was all excited about it and everything. And this year, now, I guess there's good news and bad news. The good news is I actually did make my costume, and I did wear it, and I have pictures, and I'm going to show you the pictures, because I want to hear your reaction, like, live on the air.
I haven't looked at this yet. This is true.
Yeah, but the bad news is they didn't have the costuming panel again this year.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I was kind of bummed. And last year I talked all about Ken Rising, who is the guy who was doing the whole track is called Apocalypse Rising, you know, kind of a play on his name. Well, it was still called Apocalypse Rising, but I didn't see him anywhere at any panels. Okay. He was actually in the parade, too. You know the guy, I forget his name, the guy in Road Warrior who did the announcement about the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla?
Yeah, the one who got his hand cut off?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what his name was? I forgot what it was.
Like his real name or his character name?
His character
like
name.
They called him like the something, the,
yeah.
the mink or something.
Yeah,
weird, like
I don't think it's... Yeah,
that was like
he had a
horribly
mink on his head.
Improvised name I just did there. Yeah, but, I'll be pondering this as you're talking here.
But yeah, last year he dressed up as him, and they had a real vehicle just like that, and they had the guy, the, you know, Lord Humongous driving it, and so Ken Rising was actually on this vehicle during the parade, you know, and they had the two people in the front that were all wrapped up and beaten up, looked like they were tortured, you know, like on the front of the vehicle.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's really really cool. I have pictures of that too. So this year, I don't think that was him dressed up, and I didn't see him at any panels, so I don't know what happened to him. But
wasn't he like the Toadie or something?
Oh, that might be it, yeah. I
don't know where I got Mink. I think it's because he had a Mink on, yeah. Like a Mink's on his head or something.
Yeah, he did, on his helmet, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that might have been it. But so I wasn't expecting as much, I guess, from this year's... panels and everything, but I really had a lot of fun on the ones that I did go to. I didn't go to all of them. Of course, you know, I was there for work, and we were doing a lot of the MMO track and, you know, just kind of running around. But from the ones I saw, there was one about, what was it about? It was about the, like, movies, like post-apocalyptic movies, and they were talking about, you know, kind of the best of this and the best of that, and they were taking questions from people in the audience, and they were asking, you know, what was your favorite this, and actually they were trying to stump the guys too, the panelists, which was kind of fun. But it was a few of the guys were actually there last year. I remember them from last year, the same panelists. But they were what I thought was interesting. There were these two people on the panel, and they did another panel later that I didn't get to see. But they were from this zombie like preparation. I wish I remember the exact name of it. Some kind of like committee to like a preparedness type of a thing. But they called themselves the zombie, you know, like some kind of zombie preparedness group. And they were explaining something that I was fascinated with, and I was thinking about this for like the next week after this, just straight. They were explaining the fact that this group of theirs is about emergency preparedness, which, of course, we had a show all about. And they were describing a lot of the different things you would do in the situation of a real apocalypse, just like, you know, we did in our show. And that was going to be what their panel was all about, which I didn't get to see. But they were touching on it a little bit. And they were explaining the scenario that, you know, if it really was the end of the world, who would get together and who would not get together? You know, would we all kind of band together for the sake of being a society again, or would we all just kill each other because we don't trust each other? And it's a really, you know, an interesting thing to ponder. And they were talking about the books. It was a panel about books is what it was, not movies, all about books. And so they were talking about the different books, like S.M. Sterling's book, you know, where the people get together and they form a society, you know, in Dies the Fire. And then there are many, many other books where they don't do that at all. You know, The Road is a good example. You know, it's like every man for himself. You know, you just have to be careful. And they were pondering the philosophy of this. Like, what would really happen if this happened? Well, they were describing, they have this group, and I'm going to have to look this up and put it in the show notes, but they have this group, the zombie preparedness group, and they said, you know what? Like, we get together, we actually have, like, little mini-meets where members of this group get together, and it's serious. You know, I mean, it's funny because they call it zombie, but it's actually serious to where it's all about emergency preparedness. And they said, you know what, if the end of the world happened, we would know what to do, and we would probably kind of form a faction. You know what I mean? Like, these guys would get together and actually do something. And I'm like, well, you know, that's really interesting. Like, I knew that they were... There were groups like that, I guess. I guess I always kind of wrote them off as like, you know, militia or whatever. But I think it's cool that there's this group of like fans, you know, like post-apocalyptic fans that that are kind of dedicated to if something, you know, they're kind of like, well, this is what we're preparing for. But in the off chance that there really is an apocalypse, we'll be all right because we're going to band together, you know?
Yeah, no, that is interesting. I keep my eyes open for groups like that because, like you said, it's usually when you try to approach somebody about, like, hey, do we have any groups like this? The first thing they do is get ready to call the police because they're waiting for you to go blow a building up. And it's like, no. But I always, it's funny because I don't know if I've mentioned this, like, one of the big jokes, and it's only a half joke, is I tell everybody, you know, that if there ever was something wrong, you know, I always tell them, you know, it's in the first little while, you know, we talked about this in the 72 Hour Kit episode, is, you know, it's the first little while that you really do tag, you know, those are the moments when a lot is at stake and people haven't reacted yet. And if you know what you're doing very quickly, then you're going to be ahead of the game. And I always tell people, like, head north, you know, to northern Utah and meet us at the bunker, which is like that. My in-laws live in the middle of nowhere in like Vernal, Utah, and they have like this concrete like bunker house, you know? And I always tell them, like, they have this like food storage and everything, and I always tell them, like, travel north on the interstate, look for the Lambda symbol from Half-Life, spray painted on the bridge. And, you know, they're always like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, ha, you're laughing now, but you're gonna look for it when it happens. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, just for that, I'm gonna like spray paint the wrong way, just to be like, you idiot. But no, I mean, that is true. I mean, it's something that I'm only half joking. Like, if anything ever did happen, I mean, that's precisely what I do. And funny enough, they would know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting that I'd love to see people. I wonder if how widespread they are. That would be fascinating if I could find somebody like closer in.
Yeah, I need to look that up. And actually, I will, if I can find it, I'll put it on the show notes. And actually, I know we have listeners who were at Dragon Con, so if any of them know, definitely email me and let me know, because I didn't write it down like an idiot. But I just think it's fascinating, and the audience was asking him these questions, you know, like, what would we do if this really did happen? And they were like, no, seriously, like, we would know what to do, you know?
Right.
So it was like, oh, yeah, I guess you would. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. That was a really cool panel. We saw... I think we saw a couple other ones, but I was really bummed out about the no costuming one.
Yeah.
Actually, here, let me show you my picture.
Yeah, this is spontaneous. Everybody, and yes. I haven't seen this yet. He's sending this to me for the first time.
Yes.
Okay.
What you see?
All right,
first?
I'm opening it up as we speak.
Oh no, here we go.
Okay. Clicking download.
This is going in the show notes, by the way.
Okay, here we go. It's about to open up. I love it, like, when you're really wanting to see it, and, like, Windows is like, all right, do you want me to open it? What do you want me to open it with? Are you sure you want me to open it? I'm like, just open it! Dude! Oh, my goodness! Wow. Dude, that's hardcore. Dude, you even have, like, shotgun shells, like, strapped to the... Dude,
yeah,
that is solid.
I was hoping you would notice that. You know what's scary? Scary for other people, not me. Those bones on there are real bones.
Oh,
they,
my goodness.
Are turkey bones, not human bones.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, most people who do this kind of, like, these kinds of things, they have, you know, like, temporary, like, let's be honest, you know, it's usually, like, you know, foam and paper, yeah, and stuff. You could tell yours is the genuine real deal. Everything you're wearing is the little gauntlet of the tire gauntlet that you, yeah, have. That's a freaking real tire.
Yeah, that's a real tire.
Dude, did you get, like, people, like, that's amazing.
Well, it was funny because a lot of people, I was walking by, it was really hot. Like, it was hot, and plus that mask thing on there was really hot.
Yeah.
And we're walking around, and I noticed a lot of people kind of looking at the ground or whatever, looking across the street, and then they'd look over at me, and they'd be like, holy crap! It's just, like, scare people to death.
Dude, that's the mask is eerie. Like, it's seriously, like, the animal, is that supposed to be, like blood down the front or something?
Yeah. It's supposed to be, like my, I was so mutated that I had to cover myself up, you know,
yeah,
like you can expose yourself to the air. So there's, like, blood coming out of the, or it's really, it's
dude,
gory.
That's
it's
wild. No, that is really cool. Like, it's because I remember the one you did last year.
Yeah.
And you know, and it was really good. This one is, like, dead on. I mean, it looks like if you had an axe in your hand, I would genuinely crap in my pants. I mean, it would be, I would really think that, like, you know, oops, I shouldn't be in this zone. I shouldn't have headed for downtown. I don't know.
Well, what's funny is the DragonCon area is only a couple blocks, but we parked, you know, a few blocks over. So we had to walk to and from the car in the parking garage. And, you know, you go about three or four blocks over, and people aren't dressed up anymore. So I'm just walking around like this, and, you know, everybody's like, what is that dude's problem? What's going on?
If they ask, just be like, I work for the post office. And then just wait, and just for the reaction, just stand there, like, they want to laugh, but they're afraid you might be really serious.
Yeah.
Like, what? Oh, Frank. Oh, no. Don't look at him, Martha.
But, yeah, this is all, like, found stuff and, you know, like, things from Goodwill and you know, it's the only reusable thing I have are my boots. You know, those are actually my real boots, and then I have my tool belt that I
wow,
that I actually use. So,
dude,
but
that, I mean,
in the apocalypse, wouldn't you wear a tool belt? I mean, it's got all those pockets. I mean, it's
well,
leather.
Yeah. Yeah, why the rifle down the back? I'm like, what if you, like, sit wrong and you blow your own butt off or something? I mean,
yeah,
it's just, it never made sense to me. Like, people when they, like, in the movies where you see somebody put the gun down the front of their pants, and I'm like, well, you're just asking for humiliation. It's like, yeah, sir. No, that is incredible. How many hours total would you say that took?
Oh, I don't know. I worked on it.
You've done that a long time.
I worked on it all summer last summer, and I mean, I changed things around. Like, you know, for the Halloween, a lot of this was done for Halloween last year, and then I changed a lot of it around for this year. So I don't know. It was a long time. A lot of changes and rechanges, and, you know, different ideas I had. Like the shotgun shells and the bones together on a necklace was kind of an idea I had later. You know, and it was, I don't know. The back, you can't see it, but the back is made up of license plates that are overlapping to kind of look like a scale mail kind of a thing. And I could sit down comfortably, you know. I mean, they, mm-hmm, it would make a lot of noise, but I could sit down and the license plates would kind of fold up to where, you know, it was actually able to sit down and it wasn't too bad. But and then when you stood up, they kind of unfolded to protect my entire back, so...
Wow.
So I'm ready. When that bomb hits,
you are ready to prey on the innocent as soon as that happens. So in other words, when I'm traveling north, if I see you, I'll be like, oh, crap it. Oh, no, it's John. It's good.
You'd be like, oh, he's on my side. Good.
But then all of a sudden it dawns, like right before we die, though, my wife would be like, but he's never actually seen you in real life. Oh, that's true. He probably doesn't. Oh. Dang, dude. Kudos. That is incredible.
The inside of that, the tire part, there's actually, my arm goes through a, it's a, like a pineapple can, I think is what it is. And it's a, like, you know, a tin can. And I painted it to look all rusty and everything, so you can't even see it. But my arm goes through there. I actually bolted the can to the rubber, and then there's a strap at the end of it that I bolted. It was just like a rubber bungee that I strapped to it, and then so I could stick my hand through the can, and it goes up my forearm, and then I hold on to the strap with my hand, and it makes like a little shield. And it, I mean, you could, I bet somebody could hit me with something like a baseball bat or something, and it probably wouldn't even hurt, you know, deflecting it with that. I don't know, because there's little spikes coming out from where the screws went through.
Yeah.
But I had to kind of cover them a little bit so they weren't too sharp for Dragon Con. But
how about that? No, that's phenomenal, man. I hope you got a lot of compliments on that one.
Yeah, I didn't wear it for too long. I wore it for about 4 hours, which I guess, I don't know, some people said that's pretty average, you know, because it's, I mean, it's Atlanta in the, you know, in early September, so it was in the, you know, mid-90s. I mean, it was very, very hot. I guess, yeah, it was somewhere around there, but just walking around. I mean, it was heavy, the tire and the, you know, all that stuff.
Like, dude, and everything. That is so eerie. You should just walk in and be like, leave the panel. Just walk away.
So, yeah.
Seriously, like, if you had a mask, that way you'd look like Lord Humongous.
It's, a lot of people asked me what it was. One guy asked, he thought I was a Viking.
A Viking?
Yeah, and he, well, I didn't have the mask on, and I have a pretty big beard going on right now. So he saw, you know, I didn't have the mask on, and he saw the, like, fur and the the armor and everything, and he's like, "What? He said, what's in your wallet? Like, you know, like the commercials?
Like you're getting...
And I was like, wait, no, I think you had the wrong idea.
You're like, yeah, because when Vikings would attack, it's a good thing they had gauntlets made of tires! What's in your wallet? A rifle?
But it was cool. It was a lot of fun, and it was, you know, I'm not this is my first time doing this, you know, and and it was just fun, kind of walking around, seeing everyone's reactions, and I like it better because my face was covered, so it was kind of like I get to look at them, and they can't really see. Oh, I had goggles too. I wasn't wearing them in that picture, but I had these goggles that were like, you know, they looked very kind of Book of Eli, you know, the goggles and that, and I had them on over that for a while, and it looked pretty scary, and then but it just got too hot. They would fog up, and, you know, I couldn't even breathe, but, yeah, because I had this little hole by my mouth there, the only place I could breathe, and it was, it was getting kind of kind of stuffy in there, but, yeah, the reactions were funny. It was I don't know, it was a lot of fun.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'll put that in the show notes if anyone wants to laugh at me and go, wow, Sean is really crazy. There's a couple other pictures, too. I might put them all in there. There's a close-up, and I think that's it, really. But there's one we took in the parking garage. It's kind of scary. But
wow. That is so cool.
Yeah. So I guess other than that, though, you know, Dragon Con, for me, as far as the post-apocalyptic part, I didn't really get to see too much other. There, it seemed like most of the panels were very, you know, talking about zombies. Like, everything was zombies. Actually, the name of that thing I was trying to think of was Zombie Squad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put a link to that in show notes. But a lot of the things in the post-apocalyptic thing were all zombies. I mean, I guess zombies are big right now, but everything was, you know, zombie books, zombie movies, you know, what to do to, you know, kill zombies. And it was a lot of zombie stuff that I mean, I love zombies, but I was kind of like, I didn't want to see it over and over again. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
I didn't go to all those panels, but I know that we have people out there who went, like I said. So I would love to hear other people's impressions. Maybe we can get some emails and read them on the next show if you know, people enjoyed themselves.
Yeah, right in, dude.
Yeah. So let's get into the emails now. We have 8 of them, like I said, and we want to kind of go through these. A lot of these are pretty quick ones, but I definitely wanted to read them to kind of catch up. And I apologize. Some of these are pretty old. You know, it's been a long time since we've had an email show, so that's another reason we wanted to catch
the mailman
up here.
Was killed, and so it took him a long time to get a new one.
Yeah, actually, the bones I have on my necklace.
Yeah, he took the... It's like the postman, except, like, it with a twist.
Okay, so this first one, this is one of them from July. It says, you guys talked about terravivos.com, and we talked about that a long time ago, but this person says, this is from Paladin Kieran, and he says, I think it's a scam. One of the photos has some concrete pillar with just the title Gamma Ray Detector. While some German lab has managed to make a gamma ray detector that small, it's next-gen tech that's going on a space shuttle. Even if it's not a scam, they are definitely crackpots. It's prudent to design a shelter to save you from nuclear war. It's madness to build it to save you from Planet X, a.k.a. Nibiru, a.k.a. Nemesis, a completely fictional planet that has a hugely elliptical orbit and every 10,000 years comes careening into the inner solar system to cause mayhem with our orbit. The fact that every person who knows about astronomy I talked to nearly fell out of their chairs laughing at this tells me that we don't have to worry about Planet X. Paladin Kieran from Brisbane.
The shelters that we were talking about on the news show.
Yeah, so he's saying that he thinks that they're actually scams, and I don't know anything about that. I don't know if they're, you know, real. All I know is that we saw that commercial, that little video for them, and there's a website and everything, and they were pretty interesting, but scam? I don't know.
You know, that would be funny to be, like, in that shelter with everybody, and everybody's like, we're here because of the Planet X, and I'm like, wait, Planet X? I thought we were here for nuclear war. And then I just get up and leave. You know what? This is bull crap. I'm not staying here because of a planet. No, well, that's funny. If that was one of the reasons I know that they mentioned, although I think they were just like, you know, anything was sort of what they were trying to say. But
yeah, plus I know we made jokes about the different vaults.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe there is a different vault for each one of these.
Yeah, they did. You know, that's true, though. They did make a mention on that page about things, about, you know, the things happening in 2012. But one of the things they do mention is they do mention that just being one of the possibilities. They say, like, you know, holy wars and earthquakes, potential earth impacts. And I think what it is that, you know, is they were just kind of like saying, hey, you never know what might happen. But then again, you know, I always remember my grandpa says, like, you can hit by a bus tomorrow. And then I just go, oh, thanks, Grandpa.
Your grandpa sounds like a wise guy.
He's, well, it's funny because he's dead serious most of the time, except when he's watching QVC and he starts telling me the host's birthdays. Today's his birthday. I'm like, oh, Grandpa, now you're scaring me.
That's funny. Oh. All right, let's go to this next email. It says, hi, guys. I started listening to your podcast a few weeks ago, and I absolutely love what you do. I'm a writer and have been posting a serial novel entitled The Apocalypse Diaries on my website for the last 2 months. I am nearing the end of my first story arc and wondered if you could take a look, possibly to at least give me a little feedback and at most maybe discuss it on the show. It would be great to reach out to more fans of the genre. I'm looking at self-publishing a book near the end of the year with at least 100 pages of new content that I've been working on. However, the main story is available free on the site at, it's jonathanwaynebrown.webs.com, and I'll put a link to that in your show notes. I hope you can find the time to have a read, and I look forward to hearing your opinions. Best regards, J.W. Brown. I haven't checked it out. We literally read these emails, like, we literally open these up right before we start recording.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a chance to check that out.
It looks
yet.
Really cool, though. Everything I've seen on his site looks really well done.
Oh, did you get a chance to check that out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I am a big fan of the stuff. I mean, before this show and a long time ago, actually, I did a little thing called Eve of Adam, and it was kind of not so much post-apocalyptic, but it was kind of a sci-fi little audiobook thing that I just experimented with, I guess. And Jonathan actually helped me with that a little bit too. And so I'm all for this stuff. You know what I mean? I think it's really cool. And this is something he says, it's a serial novel that he's doing on his website, not audio, right? Yeah, he doesn't say anything about audio, but I'm all for this. And, you know, they actually have that thing also in November every year, the contest, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, it's like a lot of bloggers do this, it's like a contest to write a book in a month, and I think that there's certain limitations to it. I don't know if I remember that correctly, but I think it's in November every year. So, I mean, here we are, you know, coming up on November here. But what it is, you essentially start on November 1st, and you write a book, and you have to be done by the 30th, or 31st, however many days there are in November, and you have to submit it on this website, and you get it all together, and then, you know, you can, I think there are, it's like a contest, you can win prizes and stuff like that, but I don't know, pretty interesting, if Jonathan Brown wanted to check that out.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go on to this next email. It says, "Hi, Sean and Jonathan. A friend showed me a video which stunned me for several minutes. It's made by Isao Hishimoto, I think I pronounced that right, and visualize the madness of nuclear arms race from 1945 to 1998. And there's a link to it right there. Maybe you can mention it on your next TTA show. I enjoy Through the Aftermath very much since episode one. Keep up the good work, Chris." I have not checked this out again. We are reading these for the first time, but that's one that I can put in the show notes. And it sounds interesting. Visualizing the madness of nuclear arms from 45 to 98.
Yeah, we're going to both be taking a look at this here. Yeah, like you said, we just barely got this email, but just by the responses alone for this video as it's been loading, I'm like, wow, this must be pretty powerful because everybody is already the comments are all very positive and everybody's talking about how powerful of a video that it is. So we'll put it in the links.
yeah, definitely. Cool. Okay, so this next email says, "Hey guys, I was just thinking, might be good if you ask all listeners to email in all the best Fallout 4 or 5 locations. Either in the USA or in the world. My favorite would be Fallout 4, the Hamptons, where when the bombs dropped, all the billionaires were stuck on their huge estates and had to turn their gardens into farmland, and 150 years on the descendants of all those billionaires have become extreme redneck hillbillies. every 500 meters, there's a moonshine distillery and Pa holding a shotgun telling you to keep away from his daughter. Where would you love to see in ruins?" You know, that kind of, actually, that reminds me of that Fallout DLC,
Point Lookout.
Point Lookout, yeah, that's what it was.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Probably the best of the download content, I might add.
So what would you like? I guess that's kind of morbid, but what would you like to see in ruins?
You know, that's a very good question, and that is something I've thought about because, you know, that is one thing that they, you know, threw out to Todd Howard not too long ago is, would you ever put it in somewhere other than America? And what he told them back was, actually, no, because what it does is it's joke, you know, most of the Fallout games do joke off of, you know, 1950s America, you know, life is grand, you know. But one thing that I would think about, like, one thing I would like to see is, you know, the other Fallout games, they have touched on Los Angeles a little bit, but nobody's really ever seen it, and it's just absolute, just nonstop city for miles and miles. I would like to see something like that. Everybody's like, well, why Los Angeles? And it's because, well, Los Angeles is just gargantuan, and there's so much going on in such small areas. That would be fascinating. To be honest, the one I would love to see would be New York City, and that's just because you have so much going on. Like, as far as, like, bridges and islands and, you know, tunnels to Jersey. And, I mean, you've got, like, there's so many landmarks, both historical and things that have happened there in recent times. I mean, it just has tons of stuff you could run with. And it would just be, you know, like, D.C., everything kind of had that, you know, D.C. kind of has that feel to it. Everything's very colonial looking. And New York is kind of this mishmash. You cross a bridge and you're in a whole different ball game of things. Well, speaking of ball game, there you go. You could do that too. That's one I would really, really like to see, is a city of that scale.
I think that the bridges actually play a huge part in that. Because do you ever watch that series, Life After People?
And you know, it's funny you mention that. I actually just watched that a week ago.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah.
Because the bridges started to collapse.
Yeah, and that's what I think about. Like, the tunnels would collapse, the bridges would collapse, and it would seriously be, like, different worlds on each island. You know, Manhattan Island, Long Island, all that would be, like, their own little worlds. And not until people started kind of, repairing ships or building their own, you know, ways to travel water again, that we wouldn't really, you know, interact with the other islands. So I think that would be pretty interesting to see how each island kind of evolved over, you know, through survival methods like that. So yeah, I would actually, I didn't think about it before, but that would actually be very interesting. I mean, if you think about how they could make that into a game, you know, into a Fallout game, and just have like the different, I mean, you could, it's just crazy to think about. You can make the different islands just different parts of the game, you know, progressing through, and wow, that would be really cool.
Like Escape, you know, Escape from New York. I mean, they had one whole Manhattan Island was turned into a prison, and you could see something like that happen. You'd end up with one island that's become, you know, I think, you know, maybe like more gang oriented or whatever, you know, or you know, like a lot of the families gathering together, and then you could have one that's just, you know, maybe it's more downtownish type stuff, and maybe there's even one area where you've got a lot of the penthouse type buildings, and they're sort of all, you know, huddled up on the higher floors, and the lower floors are all like buttoned off, kind of like you would see, like you see in 28 Days Later, the way that guy had all those shopping carts piled up. You know, you could just run with that, and that's the nice thing about it is you just the sense of scale, but also the fact that you could have so much happen in such a small area. You know, one building over, you could have a completely different thing going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know. I think it would be pretty crazy. But yeah, that would be that would actually be a really fun game. I mean, you could have, you know, more of a rural setting, which would basically just be, you know, the wasteland, because it would be everything would be so spread out. That wouldn't be as much fun. I think the fun is to be had in more of a like a just blown out, you know, urban setting. You know, I mean, Fallout 3 did that really well with DC, and I think that that's as far as, you know, going from there, from on, in a Fallout, keeping it in a Fallout game, you know, the way they're doing like New Vegas with it not being destroyed, I think that's interesting.
Yeah. Because yeah, it's like, everything's kind of intact in a way, but just decrepit.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like it almost defeats the whole purpose. But the way they're doing it, I think, would be interesting because there'll still be, you know, all these elements from the Fallout games, but just in kind of a non-destroyed setting. So
it's a, the next one says, "Hey there, boys. I know you two will probably take forever to get to this, but I was just catching up with your podcast episode 31, and I have to say I want to wholeheartedly have to encourage you two to go out there and try more necessary post-apocalyptic roles in life. Like you, I am an avid gamer, sad to say, but rated in the top 100 in the UK for several games. But for the past few years while on summer break at university, I have decided to try my hand at other things in life. So last summer, I worked on a building site learning the trade. This year, I've spent it sheep shearing, and next year, I plan on working for a blacksmith." That's really cool. "I have not had more fun away from my Xbox bar with my girlfriend. Not only that, but I now look at living through the aftermath in a very different way. I'm sure you understand after living on the farm. I now have several very useful skills for when the end finally comes. Many thanks," and this is from Henry in London in the UK. You know what? It's that is really cool, and I, and that's something that I think that that he's right. I mean, a lot of these skills, I think my fear, other than the fact that not knowing them when I need them, would be the fact that there's a lot of trades that would unfortunately disappear because we live in such an electronic era, you know, with it. I never thought of it quite that way, but that's a good point. Like, we're becoming so hands-on with electronics now that do everything for us that there's a lot of us that would just kind of stand there looking at the wall going, "I don't even know how to make food."
Yeah, exactly. And that was actually covered in that panel at Dragon Con. They talked about, you know, what trades do we have? And one of the guys was actually like an accountant, I think, a tax accountant. And he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to be pretty worthless in the apocalypse," you know, and everybody else was talking about how they have, you know, caches of guns, and they have, like, you know, all this stuff set away. One guy was talking about all the food he has set away in case something happens, you know, he has these skills, talking about these skills that he has, and they were saying, you know, "You guys need to learn, if you're really interested in this stuff, if you really interested in survival stuff like that, you really have to learn these, you know, how to do things without machinery. It's very important." And I think, again, going back to S.M. Sterling's Dies of Fire, it was all about that. You know, it was all about, you know, they didn't have guns because gunpowder was inert, and they didn't have electricity. You know, they didn't have any of that stuff, but nothing was ruined and destroyed. They still had everything. It just nothing would work. So they had to go back to old farming methods and all that. And it's like he said, you know, this is based, his email came about episode 31, which is the one I was talking about being on the farm. And, you know, I think it's important to do that kind of stuff, to learn, you know, kind of how to do that, the old timey stuff, you know, the stuff before there was electricity, and you know, and how to make do, you know.
Well, and that's true. I mean, it's like, you know, you look at us now and everybody's like, oh, I know how to plant flowers. I know how to plant food, you know, plant seeds. It's like, do you? Think about it. Do you really know? And it's like, you know, if you were in your climate right now, would you know exactly when to do it and when to harvest and everything like that? And, you know, some of you probably know from the sideline from somebody else doing it. But if it really came down to it, how much do you really know? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it's like there's always more to learn about it. And it's, I think that's a good point.
Yeah, so I think it's cool. Henry, like he says, he's going to work for a blacksmith, and he's going he's learning building trades. He spent some time sheep shearing. I think that's great. I think that's really cool stuff. And I'm glad that someone, you know, we didn't really hear a lot of feedback from that episode. I was kind of wondering what people would think of that. You know, it's not about post-apocalyptic media, but it's about kind of experiences, you know, and it gets a little deeper. And I was curious what people thought about that, if we should do more shows like that. And,
yeah.
So it's good to hear the feedback, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. This next one says, hello, Sean and Jonathan. Have you been watching the news on the fires in Russia? Pretty wild stuff. Now, that's actually new. Have you been watching this? I didn't know this about the fires in Russia. This is news to me. Pun intended. He says, then I saw this article about how the fires could spread to areas contaminated by the Chernobyl accident, and the smoke could spread over other parts of Russia. It kind of reminds me of the book On the Beach, a radioactive cloud spreading around the world. Let's all go play outside, is what he says. He says, keep the great intros and shows coming, and this is from David. And then he links to it, a link from the New York Times, where they basically say that the fear of radioactivity and Russia fires, there's concern that fallout from the Chernobyl nuclear disaster 24 years ago could be carried in plumes of smoke. And he gives a link for it. And that, you know what, that's interesting because, you know, we hear about that, you know, the Chernobyl accident, and, you know, it's been quieter in more recent times, but it's something that I've been kind of watching recently because, you know, not too long ago, you know, I was talking about that documentary that I had been watching on it. And one of the things that they had kept bringing up was when they built that sarcophagus over the reactor, that it was only, you know, the problem is that it's we're now to that point where the sarcophagus, it was never going to last forever. And we're starting to get to that point where it's starting to come apart. And I've been wondering if we're going to start seeing more of that coming into the news here where, you know, even though it's been 20, 24, 25 years, you know, you never know when something like that could eke its way back into the, you know, what's been going on out there. And these fires would definitely, you know, could definitely be a threat to something like that, especially if there's a lot of that, you know, material that's leaking out that maybe they don't know about, which, you know, nowadays they probably do. But yeah. Creepy stuff, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it is scary to think about that. That just, I mean, we learn about Half-Life, you know. I mean, you hear the name Half-Life, you think of the game Half-Life, you know, but you don't, you know, the actual term Half-Life itself, just, you know, as it pertains to how long this stuff sticks around, you know, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, definitely. It's we'll be keeping our eyes on that one. I'll have to look that one up. Now, this next one, this next one is aimed at me. It says, I just finished listening to part two of the intro shows and casting my votes. I do have a question, however. And he says, the earlier intros were very short and simple, and somewhere around the midway point, you stated in your commentary something along the lines that you got better at making intros, and they became longer and more complex. Being a listener of your previous podcast, The Online Gamers Anthology, I know you were already doing some ambitious intros even back then, such as Hellgate London and Mr. Rogers parodies. Since you produced those well before the premiere of Through the Aftermath, why did it take so long to get you back up to speed with the intro skits on the new podcast? And this is from Terrence. You know, that is a valid question. And the answer was because at the time, I was sort of, you know, for one thing, it's a new subject matter. With the skits in the Online Gamers Anthology, I just sort of ran with whatever I thought was funny at the time. And I had a lot I could run with the post-apocalyptic stuff, it gets a little more complex because there's a lot of material out there, but I was trying to kind of keep it linked, if possible, to the episode that we were talking about. But also, I was kind of playing with a lot of the you know, radio show, commercial, trying to keep it 1950s. And the main reason why at the beginning I was keeping it simple was because I was still kind of feeling it out and kind of going, where could I take this? Is this going to work? You know, but it was, but you know, like he mentions, you know, like I got pretty much, you know, with All My Gamers Anthology, I was already kind of up to speed with the way skits went. And lo and behold, it didn't take long for that to kind of click into place. Now that could be a bad thing though, because, there has been times where Sean was like, you know, when it came to the skits. So, that, you know, sometimes the ambitious skits, that was one thing that at the beginning I was concerned about, was because I know that sometimes they can get a little too ambitious at moments, and I didn't want to be holding anybody back up. And back then when I was doing my own show, it was me. So, but it, truth be told, it really was because I was kind of like feeling it out a little bit, going, hey, is this going to work? Is this going to be fun? And we got better, especially with the post-apocalyptic stuff. And then, you know, once you start getting going, ideas start to fly. And, oh, my gosh, I have, like, ideas to last the next 10 years on some of this stuff. And I wish I could do it all. And you never know. I mean, you know, maybe the intros keep going. I don't know. But yeah, no, that is a valid question. You know, it was a simple matter of getting, you know, having taken a break for a moment and then kind of getting back up to speed again. And hopefully everybody feels that the quality has maintained.
Well, you know, also this one might be a good time to talk about the episodes.
Yes.
The intro episode.
Yeah, and exactly. And for those of you who haven't heard it, you know, he's referring, of course, to the part one and two intro shows that we had a few shows back and a little before that. And there was a website where you can cast your votes. And we are just about to the point where we're going to go ahead and get to where we're going to talk about the winner, and we're going to do that in the next show. So this is final call. All of you out there who've been wanting to vote or thought, you know, maybe I should go vote, if you haven't already, now is the time, because I will tell you right now, because my understanding is that from the user point of view, you can't see the votes yet. I will tell you that number three and number two are almost completely tied, and I'm waiting to see which one kind of ekes its way to the front. And I will tell you that it's been a very big surprise seeing which ones have pushed up to the front lines. And so those of you out there who haven't done it already, this is your chance. You know, go to that part two episode on our website, throughtheaftermath.blogspot.com, and place your votes. All you have to do is just go ahead and click on it, and you know, very easy to do. So yeah, let's see what we got. Next show we'll announce the winners for it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Next show
should be fun.
Actually, I'm not going to, you know, give any spoilers away or anything, but we were talking before the recording a little bit about which ones are winning, and I'm really excited because there's some really good ones, and I was actually surprised by some of them that were up there, because it was like, oh yeah, I remember that one now, you know.
So, and what we're going to do is in the next show in 2 weeks or so, and we have to make it 2 weeks, because once Fallout comes out there, we may disappear. Now, on the next show, the intro of the next show is actually going to be me telling you what number three, number two is, and we're going to play number one. So this should be a hoot. Yeah, next show, you'll find out. So lock your votes quick.
Lock in those votes.
Lock in those votes. Text 19743. Somebody else is like, how did he know it was me?
Okay, cool. Yeah, I look forward to that. That should be a lot of fun. Let's see, we got one email left, and this is from Aiken, and he says, hey guys, by now I'm sure you've all heard about The Walking Dead on AMC, premiering on Halloween night. It's looking like they've done it right. I can't wait. In the unlikely event that you haven't seen it yet, here's the trailer, and we will definitely put that in the show notes. Want the music from the trailer? and he has a link there for the music, and track number four at... And another link. He says, I can't seem to figure out how to link to a single track. There's an unofficial forum that just started up at roamersandlurkers.com. Again, put the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to check out the Walking Dead Google map with a link. And finally, I didn't realize this until just now, he says, but there's a The Walking Dead podcast. It's called Talking Dead Podcast. Oh, that's a cool name.
That's funny.
Yeah. I missed you guys at Dragon Con, assuming you were there. Yes, we were. It was way cool this year. I spent a lot of time with the Apocalypse Rising track, the post-apocalyptic 20 years after Z-Day Zombie Squad team. That's who I'm talking
Whoa.
About right there.
Dude, he's going to find out he was sitting next to you and didn't even know.
Oh, him. I know. At the Zombie Walk was very cool. Yeah, they had a Zombie Walk where they literally had everybody who was dressed up like a zombie just walk through downtown Atlanta and like through the hotels and everything, because yes. it's set up in a bunch of different hotels. So that I watched a little bit of that. It was everything you could think of. I mean, there were like people dressed up, you know, like they had a zombie prom, so there were a lot of people dressed up in prom dresses and like all torn up. There were a lot of people in suits. Yeah, and then there were a lot of just kind of mutilated looking zombies. There were people in wheelchairs and zombies. There were even like steampunk zombies. I mean,
dude.
there were superhero zombies. I mean, it was everything. It was actually really, really cool. So they went crazy with the zombies this year.
The zombie walk. That's just begging for puns, like really badly done puns. Like, how was it? Oh, the place was dead. I mean, it's oh god, I feel bad.
Or like, oh, it just dragged on and on.
Yeah, good one. Oh, that place was falling apart. I don't know.
Yeah. okay, so his email goes on. He says, it was much better than the normal boring black SWAT outfits they wear. Oh, he's talking about the Z-Day Zombie Squad. They were wearing like SWAT outfits because they were, you know, kind of like enforcers against zombies. And that's like I said, that's the people I was talking about, who were talking about how they're they had that panel to get, you know, about kind of how, you know, if the apocalypse happened, they would be able to, join together, I guess. So, yeah, the zombie squad, that's who it was. He says, well, I guess I better not talk too much smack about them as I'm thinking about joining. Awesome. You know, actually, me too.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, I saw an episode dropped, but I haven't listened to it yet, so you all may be getting another one of my huge emails soon. That's from Aiken. Yeah, I feel bad. Aiken wrote a couple times, and he wanted to get together at Dragon Con, and I did not read it until about an hour ago. One of these days, I mean, we need to get together, and maybe we'll be joining the zombie squad together, so.
Yeah, well, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, just tell them that we were role-playing. You can just tell them that we were playing, you know, like after the world explodes, then we'll see plenty of each other. Or yeah. When the zombies, yeah, the zombie apocalypse, yeah, that, you know. Albeit, everybody knows where to find me, right? I mean, McDonald's, you know? We need to do another one of those. When we get closer to Halloween, we have to do more zombie stuff. This is just begging for it. I mean, even if we, you know, Left 4 Dead-ish, I don't know. But, yeah, we've got to have something zombie-oriented, and this sounds like this is making me think already of what we could do.
I agree. I totally agree. We do need to do something. We haven't really planned this too much. We have something kind of special for next episode that we want to do, and then after that, we'll try to record two of them before Halloween. Oh man, that's like 5 weeks away.
That's really close.
So we have to get off our butts and get this done. But yeah, a zombie one for Halloween would be really cool. We should definitely.
That would be a hoot. Because that last one, I forgot. This sounds ridiculous that I would say this, but I literally almost had forgot about that one we did last time where we were role playing, you know, doing like spontaneous stories. But I've had people come back and tell me like that was the funniest thing you've ever done. And I'm like, yeah, we need to do something, even if it wasn't zombie esque. I mean, even if it was like, you know, an apocalypse because like, you know, hell itself poured upon the earth, like Hellgate London type stuff. Okay. We got to do another one like that because the spontaneity of it was just it was just fun. And I mean, that's one of the shows where you can even if you're in it, you go back and you listen to it and you go, that was ridiculous. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
So, we'll think. Yeah, I think that's on the pipeline. It's got to be.
Yeah, I think it's very possible. And speaking of pipeline, I think we should probably wrap this show up.
Oh, yeah, the pipe, here's the, we ran out of pipe.
So, thanks everyone for writing in the emails. If you want to write in an email to us, you can send it to ttaftermath@gmail.com, and we may read it on the show. And you can also check out our Twitter and Facebook pages. I've been slacking so much on Twitter lately, but I need to get back into that. I usually tweet kind of a lot of game-related stories. So if you're, you know, if it's a lot of news game-related newsy kind of stuff. So if you're not into that, you might not want to follow. But other than that, you know, I also talk about, or I announce when we make a new episode too. So definitely want to look for that.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, email us, ttaftermath@gmail.com, and check out the website with all the show notes at throughtheaftermath.blogspot.com. So until next time, this is Sean.
And this is Jonathan saying, stay undead out there. Oh, that was bad.